This week I had a birthday, and it's lovely to get polite cards from friends. You know when you're old, when it's no longer head, shoulders, knees and toes, it's wallet, glasses, keys and phone. Yes, memories. Sometimes our memories are better than others. One thing I remember from a long time ago, when I was a teenager, I felt a bit awkward at communion. I didn't know what you were supposed to do. Were you supposed to be reverently praying? Were you supposed to be looking at what's happening? Because if you closed your eyes, your mother thought you were asleep and gave you a nudge. You know, I just didn't know what to do. And I therefore was delighted when I went to a service and the minister said, right, and he answered, he must have been a mind reader. He said, you need to look. You need to have a proper eye opener. And you look at the table when the elements are there and when the passage is read. You look at the table to remind yourself that this is something that's happened. We're not just having a bit of advice. We're coming to celebrate something that God has done. The death and evil are defeated. And then when the elements come round, you look in. Lord, help me to be grateful. Lord, if there's anything wrong in my life, sort it out. And then when you've done this, and the people are taking the elements back to the table, look around. The New Testament is the picture of encouraging one another. Is there somebody in the congregation whom you feel needs encouragement and you need to support them or encourage them or help them in some way? And then when you leave the church, that's not the service over for another week. That's the service just starting. We go forth to represent Jesus. Okay, so let's see what happens if we omit one of them. Suppose we miss out the looking at the table and just look in and look around. Then there's no message to share. The church just becomes another organization. As some people go to a golf club, some people go to play bridge, some people have other hobbies. And the church just becomes a hobby. A hobby, and sometimes you like the people, sometimes you don't know who they are, etc. He said, you look at the table because God is made known. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ through whom we come to God, the God of the universe. It's not just a feature of our culture. We're dealing with a cosmic Christ and global truth. And that's so important to get that right. It's so important to get that right for ourselves so that our faith doesn't depend on our feelings. Because if we've got the flu, we feel pretty yuck. God doesn't yo-yo according to our feelings. Faith is based not on feelings, but on the facts of God made known in Jesus Christ. And we need to have this clear for ourselves, and we need to have this clear so we have a message to share with other people. Because sometimes people say, oh, I haven't much time for religion. Okay, two answers to that one. First of all, we're not talking about religion, we're talking about a relationship, information to share. And secondly, we have this message that it's there with evidence to be examined. Okay, so we look at the table. Suppose we miss out another one. Suppose we miss out the inn. And we think of, yes, this information, and I wish people in Palestine, I wish people in Ukraine, I wish people in Russia knew about it. I wish that Mrs. So-and-so was a bit better. That was a good message for her or for him. No, it's something we take in. You see, so often youngsters get the impression that the Christian faith is Jesus as a nice teacher, a great example. That really leaves them pretty cold. But it's something that we take in, this relationship. Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, says, our own completeness is only realized in him. And so often we hear people say, oh, there must be more to life than this. This God-shaped blank that people have in their lives. And we need to dig it in ourselves so that it is real for us. But how do we do this? Well, this week we have been hearing about Alexei Navalny, who died in a Russian prison, and his funeral was on Friday, I think it was. And this is what he said last Easter. Christ is risen. This day reminds us that we should not despair. And no matter how hard it is now, the time will come when evil is defeated. And people will once again say with a smile, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So in the midst of the very enormous problems of which he was the very heart in Russia, he said, yes, this is real for me. And earlier on he said that I was once a militant atheist, but now I'm a believer. Jesus was real in his life. I wonder, is Jesus real in our lives in that way? So we depend not on our circumstances, but on God is greater than circumstances. So we take in. And if there's things wrong in our lives, this is the antidote against the poison of selfishness, against the current attitude so often in society that just do your own thing and don't worry about anybody else. What's in it for me? Okay. We've looked at missing out at, we've looked at missing out in. What about the other one, missing out around? Suppose we have this note of, yes, the Christian faith, it's real in history, but it's very personal. In other words, it's in my life, it's very personal. But the Christian faith is a private thing, isn't it? Well, of course it has to be private in the sense that it's personal. It has to be real for ourselves, but it is not private. The God we're dealing with is a God behind the universe. There's objective truth. There's a message to share, and our world needs it. I'm still doing street pastors in Perth at night, and I go around the different areas of Scotland where it's on, doing quality assurance. And we meet people, quite a number from Highland Perthshire. And many of them are a bit bewildered. One sociologist calls it perma-crisis, that over the last 3 or 4 years, there's a lot of tension building up, a lot of uncertainty. Resilience is drained. We've had global warming, COVID, then the invasion of Ukraine, which put up the prices, which has led to inflation, which has led to industrial action and tension. And then Russia is talking about the possibility of shooting down satellites. We have the whole question of fake news through AI. And there are many young people who are bewildered. There are many people trying to make sense of this world. There are many people who are looking effectively for Jesus. And it's our responsibility to pass this on to a growing generation. I wonder how well we're doing that. You see, if we just say, oh, it's a private thing, I'll do it on Sunday, but we don't share it, that is turning the Christian faith into something that is selfish. I want to have my faith. I couldn't care less about anybody else. That's the exact opposite of the God with whom we're dealing. And therefore, when we come to communion, you can forget about everything I've said, really, except we're here to look with spiritual vision at Jesus, looking at what happened in history and the evidence of the cross and the resurrection, looking at what that can mean to ourselves personally, giving us a framework for our meaning in life, the fact of the resurrection programming our thinking. And then, as we look around the congregation, as we go back into our community, may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may overflow with hope. Sometimes people say, oh yes, but don't bring religion into it. Well, everyone has some sort of operational worldview by which they live. And people who say, oh, don't bring religion into it, they are in fact superimposing on society their own secularist humanist philosophy. We believe in Jesus through faith, and they're just having faith in that. So let's not be put off by people who say, oh, keep religion to yourself. Religion's for the church. Because that is an alien philosophy that has been so often imposed on our society.